Have you ever seen a seemingly normal animal only to get an overwhelming feeling of dread? Or watch an animal unnaturally run on 2 feet? Could greed and hate lead a person to do unthinkable acts for ultimate power? Today, we test the believability of skinwalkers.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. This is one of my favorite cryptids, creatures, entities ever. And you're getting it like 45. It's pretty much all downhill from here.
Yeah. From here. Well, we haven't done my favorite.
That's good. So we got one more. We have one more good episode left in us. And yes. That's assuming a lot that this might be a good episode. But for me, all downhill from here.
Yeah, don't expect much from Tyler.
I'm clocking out from here on out. It was a great run. Yeah. It was a great run. But this is certainly one of my favorite topics. We both know about it pretty well, so there'll be some good back and forth, I imagine. And I just want to say this, not that you guys really know this. I do have a personal experience that involves a skinwalker, but it feels a little self-indulgent to talk about that on the episode about Skinwalker.
I was going to ask you if you're going to get into it.
I thought about it, but it's like there's so many stories. And it's like we talked about during the Kelpies episode, like where Charlie does more history and I like going to encounters. I have encounters in here. I got 4 of them.
Oh boy.
And there are so many more on the internet, like so many more. I imagine my experience with what I believed was a Skinwalker will be an episode at a later time. So a little teaser.
Okay. Little I was going to say you're going to hide your experience behind a f***ing paywall.
Yeah. If you pay me $50, I will personally call you and I'll tell you what I experienced like 10 years ago. Also, this is not about Skinwalker Ranch. I want to get that out as
well. Right, that's different. That's a different thing.
It is a different thing. It shares the name and it's a crazy thing. Like we both know about it,
yeah.
Right? It is a crazy thing and definitely deserves its own episode eventually.
Yeah. Skinwalker Ranch is kind of like an amalgamation of kind of everything.
What word did you just say?
Amalgamation. Did I say it wrong?
I don't think it's real.
No, it's a word. It means all together.
I'm just saying, like, when you were speaking that sense, like, it was like a claw machine, and you pulled up amalgamation. Can you spell it? Can you use it in a sense? Well, you did.
Okay, I just did.
Okay. Word of the day. So anyways, not my personal experience, not about Skinwalker Ranch. This is like intro to Skinwalkers, like Skinwalker 101. Like, I hope you all spent $400 on books that you will not use once.
You, like, crack it open at the first day of class, and then you put it away, and you realize that's
they useless. Put the slides online.
Yep.
Also, I want to apologize for anybody who had issues listening to our episode on the Kelpies on Tuesday. So we were super confused. Like, yeah. We were both... It was in the morning, and Charlie messaged me. He's like, hey, did you put that episode out? I was like, yeah, I always do. And I'm like, oh, shit. Did I schedule it for the wrong day? And we looked, and it was live, and I'm like, what's going on? And we were like freaking out for a couple of hours.
You locked us out of Podbean.
You did. You locked us out of Podbean using the wrong password. So I went on this Facebook group that we use with podcasters in it and stuff for information. And somebody was like, yeah, Podbean's kind of going crazy today. That's the platform we use. And then I went to their Twitter and they're like, yeah, we've been cyber attacked today. So sorry to anybody who had issues listening to it, but it's good now.
Yeah.
Go get your horse full. So enough of that. Are you ready to dive into the lore of skinwalkers?
Ooh, take me to that Navajo place.
So, what is a skinwalker? In traditional Navajo legend, skinwalkers are essentially a person who has the ability to transform into animals. And Navajo, just to break that down, it's Native American. This is Native American lore. Native American urban legends, if you want to call it that. But that's where the Navajo comes from. Urban legend probably is... lore is better, right?
I think it's more like mythology.
Mythology?
Almost.
I like lore.
Okay.
Also, I want to point out that the Navajo culture does not like the popularity or the discussion of skinwalkers in movies or shows or media or podcasts.
Yeah, they're pretty upset about this.
Yeah.
We're going to get a cease and desist.
You guys should really not talk about it. Apparently, similar to Slender Man, except not fake in this case, in my opinion, they gain power from exposure or at the very least, talking about skinwalkers attracts them.
Man, just like when we recorded Slender Man, like, I imagine driving home and just,
thinking about it.
Yep.
It's like, every time you talk about it, it's like putting a bat signal in the sky for skinwalkers. Do you think, you know, okay, everybody likes engagement. Everyone likes followers. Do you think when a skinwalker sees that, they're like, oh my God, someone's talking about me?
Yeah.
Wait, Jerry, look, they're talking about
me. He gets little blushes. Who's Jerry?
that's the other skinwalker. Oh, okay. There's multiple skinwalkers, not just one.
He's fucking eating Jerry.
Some say that the skinwalker must have the pelt of the animal that they transform into on their person. Other people don't say this. Some people think they can just willy-nilly change. Like, I want to be an owl. Boom. I'm an owl. So, you know, it's up for discussion. We'll take it. I won't get angry no matter what side you believe.
I always thought it was a pelt.
Yeah, well, what if you don't got pockets? Or a stapler gun?
I think you wear like a cape.
A cape? Well, okay, what if you want to be an owl? I don't think you can turn an owl into a cape. That's like a kilt.
Oh, yeah.
Not a kilt, like a, what's that, what's the statue guy wear, like around his privates? Not the leaf, you know?
A belt?
No, it's like the little clothing to cover your privates. Roman
loincloth.
That's what you could be with an owl.
I think a hat, like a little owl hat.
like Davy Crockett.
Well, it's a raccoon hat.
Well, yeah, but an owl hat.
Yeah, an owl hat.
Let me just say that this episode is not about Navajo culture. Because one, I didn't do a ton of research on it. And two, I don't want to speak out of pocket.
Absolutely not, no.
So what I'm going to say is what I've read. I'm not going to make any assumptions. But from what I've seen, witchcraft generally runs pretty deep in the Navajo culture and in their spirituality. And it's kind of just like an accepted part of their everyday life. So in the construct of what we consider, what they consider good versus evil, and keeping in mind that witchcraft just kind of exists, somebody who is, quote, good is considered a medicine man. And they use rituals and witchcraft for good and for healing. And then obviously on the other side of the coin, on the, quote, evil side, is a skinwalker. So this is how it goes down. To gain the power to change into animals and to become a skinwalker, a person must do a ritual activity to basically gain this ability, to gain this power. And these activities are often very taboo, such as killing a loved one, killing a family member, necrophilia, committing incest, and even cannibalism, which kind of dips a little bit into like the Wendigo beliefs, but we're in different parts of the world here. Different parts of the world. You know, what if it's like the same thing where it's like where we say pop and other people say soda? Some people are like, oh, it's Wendigo and it's a skinwalker. I don't think that's true.
I understand what you're saying.
You do or you don't?
I do, but I don't think you're right.
I don't either. Okay. That wasn't my opinion. That was a what if separate from my own being.
Gotcha.
I threw it out there, but I don't claim it.
Okay.
So based on the whole good versus evil frame of mind, it's important to acknowledge that this isn't just somebody with good intention that's like, I want to be able to turn into a fox. Like, no, you don't get to do that. This isn't it. What, Animorphs? You know what I'm talking? Yes. Yeah, was that it?
Yeah.
So you could probably deduce based on the rituals that these are really, really evil people that are power hungry. They want to be able to terrorize people. It's often done through hate, greed, imposing your will on someone else. I'm probably going to butcher this. I didn't walk around all day saying this. In Navajo language, a skinwalker is known as a Yinaldlushi. What it means is with it, he goes on all fours.
Oh, okay.
I guess.
It says with it, he goes on all fours?
Yeah, like this person now walks on all fours.
Okay.
They're a bear.
What if it's a bird?
Or a coyote. Well, then they fly on
all fours.
Yes.
All right.
So what animals do they get to just pick and choose? Some say yes, some say no, but the most common animals that you will find a skinwalker as is a coyote, a wolf, a fox, an eagle, an owl, or a crow. So where are you putting that crow pelt?
Like a little hat.
No, that's like a friendship bracelet. Like that's the most you can do with that. However, whatever animal a skinwalker turns into typically involves what they're trying to do. If they want to travel, for instance, they're probably going to turn into a crow or an owl, something that can fly. If they're stalking an enemy, prowling, they might want to be a coyote. We'll touch on this a little bit later in some of the encounter stories we have. One very common trope, I guess you could say, is people seeing skinwalkers in cars And I don't mean like a passenger is looking out the glass and they just happen to see an unnatural wolf on the side of the road. No, I mean like skinwalkers are known to chase cars to the point that cars will speed up to evade the creatures, and the skinwalkers are able to keep running and keep pace with the cars.
How crazy is that? That's frightening.
It's very fast. I feel like when you're in a car, you always have that safety mindset of like, I can get further away from something, like whether it be a person on foot or like a tornado, which I don't know if that's what I'm saying is when you're in a car, you probably feel like you can pretty much get away.
Yeah. As soon as you get past, you're like, haha.
Given your terrain, you know, what you can do, get away. But when something on foot starts running, that's like Jeepers Creepers. It's just terrifying.
And then you see in your back window, like your back in your window, your mirror, and it's just getting closer, and you're just like speeding, you're just like, what?
And then the person next to you looks at you and says, we got company. Oh. And then they get fired from the movie.
Yeah.
Well, at least the screenwriter does. So we talked about being able to change into animals. We talked about incredible speed. So let's talk about a few other powers that skinwalkers are known to exhibit.
Evil powers.
Evil, spooky powers.
Evil, evil, evil.
Bad juju. Power number one. Voice mimicry? Is that a word? I wrote it. I probably should know.
Voice mimicry.
What was the word you said? That was a great word.
Now I can't say it.
It's gone.
Amalgulation.
There's an L in there. Okay, when you said it earlier, there was no L. I think you just added that L.
No, amalgulation.
They're able to mimic voices to lure people out and away from their home or their friends or their family.
That is one of the scariest elements.
It is. And that was one of the things when we talked about William's story, episode 6, when he heard his name called out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's many things. Man, every time I think back to that episode, I think about how we talked about different animals that sound like that. I'm like, man, we really put work in back then. Research.
Well, William's story is a great story. I mean, I'm not saying every listener's story hasn't been so far. I'm just saying William's story,
it was had the first.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah, it was fun.
But I hope you're still alive, William.
You better be. We need you. But yeah, that is terrifying. Like anything that can mimic a voice and pretend to be somebody else is terrifying. We actually have a story that's kind of a little bit like that. Hypnosis. If you look a skinwalker directly in the eyes, there was kind of multiple sides to this. It's either they could put you in a trance and make you do things that you don't want to do, aka, I guess, hypnosis. Or I also read that they can go into you, but I've never heard anything backing that up. I've never seen anything where a skinwalker could possess a person just from looking at them. Feels like a little bit much. Like I'm willing, like, okay, a person turning into an owl. I am so down with that. But possession, you lost me. We try and keep it real on Believing the Bizarre. They're also incredibly strong. I think that just has to do with like the body type. It's just everything extra. It's like they're extra fast, extra strong. I bet their hearing's great. I bet their vision's great.
Yeah, they got gains, you know.
Good teeth.
They do whey powder.
Yeah, they do all the whey protein.
They're really healthy. Weirdly healthy.
Skin bros. Bro walkers? Bro walkers. So outside of running at your car or creeping in the woods, a lot of people experience skinwalkers creeping around their house, knocking on windows and doors, pretty much trying to get you to come out and lure you out of your comfort zone. They'll also walk in front of your cars and try to cause accidents because they're evil people and they want you to get hurt. So how do people identify skinwalkers? They're usually very hairy in human form. And obviously, if you see the animal pelt on them, that's kind of a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
Some people describe them as like the perfect version of an animal. Like if you imagine like the fittest, the healthiest coyote, fox, just something like it, almost like too good. Like it doesn't have that house cat tummy. It's not like beat up or anything. It just is it's a healthy, bigger than normal looking animal. But they always say that you can tell by the behavior. Even though it will look like a normal coyote, look like a normal fox, it'll always behave a little unnatural. Like it's watching you, like it's a little stiff. Like it's kind of like something that doesn't know how to really behave in its own skin. It doesn't know how to walk with those legs. Like just something that's a little off. It might not be super clear. It might not be overt, but just like something that just feels unnatural. It's probably more of a feeling, I imagine. Maybe it's not as much what you see, but it's probably somewhere between what your eyes see and how your mind interprets it. Like that subconscious where you're just like, I can't put my finger on it, but something is incredibly off because, like I said, most people get a feeling of absolute overwhelming dread and despair, which is another thing going back to the phoenix in the forest.
Yeah. Like the like tingling in the back of your neck.
Which I want to say really, really, really quick. One of my what ifs about the phoenix in the forest was, what if it was like a Mothman type thing?
Yeah.
And I was like, I cut it. I'm like, no, I'm already talking about like three things. I don't need to bring Mothman into this. And then somebody hit us up on Instagram and was like, what if it's Mothman? I'm like, fuck. It's like, I literally had that down. I'm like, but you know what? I'm really proud that somebody else thought about it too. The red eyes also kind of mm-hmm. help. But anyways, what can you do if you are in the presence of a skinwalker? Well, you can try to fight it. You can try to fight back. But like we talked about with their powers, they are incredibly fast and strong. So it can prove difficult to do any good.
Like most things, I think I've mentioned this several times. I would probably go fetal. Lay down. Go fetal. Yep. Well, that is my ultimate defense, I think.
You think so? Do you think it would work? I mean, no, if it's a T-Rex.
Would it work? No, but where are you going to get T-Rex pelt?
Dude, that
T-Rex belt.
Dude, that's like, now we're talking cape. We're talking like long cape. Like you got people holding it at the end while you're walking.
That's royalty. That's skinwalker royalty.
Dude, a little arm, so. Interestingly enough, people actually compare skinwalker lore to werewolf lore, where people believe that any damage a skinwalker sustains while in its animal form will also exist when they're in human form. So if you're hanging out in the village and you sliced a skinwalker's arm and it went, oh, and then it ran away. And then next day at the town market, you see Jerry and Jerry's got some blood coming down his arm in the exact same spot you stabbed that skinwalker. Jerry's looking a little suspicious.
He's looking sus.
And then the town votes and Jerry's gone. It's also believed that in human form, the skinwalker's eyes will still glow. Very similar to like an animal's, like,
oh,
that,
really?
Like, so, that translucent.
I hadn't heard that. So like if you like shine a light on the human, the human eyes glow.
Yes. I've okay. heard that's why cops will put the flashlight. They're not trying to see if you're drunk. They're just trying to make sure you're not
super
a skinwalker.
Superstitious. I didn't know cops were like that, but.
Yeah, if you're skinwalker or you're black, you got to be careful with those cops.
Oh, no.
So there's no real clear cut. Like, this is what you should do. Probably run away and hide.
Mm-hmm.
But some people say that if you discover who the skinwalker is, the human form, if you say their full name, I don't know if you got to like say it loudly, if you got to whisper it, if you got to say it to their face. Some people believe that if you say their full name with the intention of outing them, like, you are a skinwalker and I know it, here's your full name, that they will get sick and die. It's kind of like that Scary Stories book with the witch. Did you read that where it's like, there's the witch, they ask for sugar, don't give them sugar. What you got to do is you got to draw them on a tree and then put a nail in their heart and they'll die.
I didn't read that book for fun. My fourth grade teacher made us listen to that book and I was in hell every day.
Really? I didn't
like scary things.
What is it called, renting books at like the school library? Do you rent a book? Is that what it's called?
You borrow a library book.
Yeah, is it borrow though? Is that what it's called? That's the verb.
Yeah.
I borrowed that book so, because there were three of them at the time. Now it's like I have the anthology of all of them. But at the time there were three separate books. I rented that I borrowed that. So many times, actually, when I was like a teacher kind of, and for my internship in my graduate program, I made my screenwriting students take one of those stories and turn it into a screenplay.
Oh yeah.
It's actually a really fun project.
That's a good project. I might steal that.
You should. So that is.
I have a question.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Charlie. Yes. Charlie Leopold. Are you a skinwalker?
Okay. So what qualifies a full name? Does that mean like middle name too?
You got to even know that bitch's nickname.
Okay.
You gotta know everything about it. You gotta be able to spell it.
Charlie.
Use it in a sentence.
Charlie Chez. Mother Chucker.
Tony Bromo. Yeah. You gotta pull that Tony Bromo.
And then
out.
Leopold, and that's it. And then done.
Did you say Armstrong?
No, I didn't.
You'd be fine. Charles Armstrong, Chuck, Charles, Mother Chucker, Tony Bromo, Leopold. He's gone. Let's talk about some of the sightings. So, maybe quantity over quality. It's been a minute.
Oh, yeah,
there's only four. There's only four, and I had seven.
I had seven?
I had seven, and I killed my darlings. I took axes to a couple of them.
You had all the elvish rings?
Yeah.
as the Lord of the Rings.
I got it. I don't have a rebuttal. I'd like to go to Rivendell. I don't know. Riverdale. Yeah, I took axes. Some of them are like ones that you can find everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Like really popular ones.
Yeah. And I think I have one or two that are, but, here's a little behind the scenes. Funny enough. I was like, I always read these first person, but I feel like that's like me reenacting the story versus telling the story. So I'm like, I'm going to try and make this third person and tell the story. I did that for two of them. I hated it. So two of them are third person and two of them are first person.
That's okay. If you don't say the one that I know, like it's really short. I know it like offhand. Can I tell it?
The rocking horse?
No. What? No.
Well, I guess I'll just say it. In summary, there's one where a father, I think it was a father, somebody was driving late at night and they saw a large dog on the side of the road. So then they paused and it crossed in front of them, but it was so unnatural the way that they described its movement. It looked like a rocking horse going back across the
street. No, it is a driving one, but
there's a lot of driving ones. I wasn't playing with you earlier when I was saying that they I think they just wait around. They're like Usain Bolt. They're munching like chicken nuggets. Yeah. And they're just waiting around looking when they see a car, they're like, and go. All right. Ready for encounter one. So, and this is why I hated it. There was no names. So, for the remainder of this first encounter, they are the author or the narrator.
Okay.
You know how bullshit this one day the author was? But that's how it's going to be. So, I hope you enjoy. One August night, the author was staying at their grandmother's house with their cousins, all ranging in age from 10 to 15, with the author being the oldest at 15. They often stayed up late, and they told ghost stories. And this particular evening, they decided they were going to make a campfire in their grandma's backyard. Their grandma's house was in a rural suburb with neighbors nearby, but their backyard was kind of secluded and it was attached to this huge, dense forest. And they also added that each house is on a hill, so only part of the basement was actually underground. It'll come into play later, as they like to tell you. But so just keep that in the back of your mind. So around 11 at night, they're playing truth or dare, they're having a good time, they're telling scary stories. The 14-year-old cousin dared their narrator and one of the 13-year-old cousins to go walk through the woods for about 10 minutes in complete darkness. So the author said yes right away, because this is an even-keeled person, they don't get scared, they're like, oh, it's just woods at my grandmother's house. I am not afraid. But the younger cousin was a little bit more hesitant.
Sensible.
So they walked for about 5 minutes or so, up until the point where when they looked back, they couldn't really see the fire anymore through the trees, and they decided 5 minutes in, 5 minutes out, so they decided to turn around. As they turned around, in the middle of the path, there was a large, dog-like creature, hunched over with its front hands an inch from the ground. What the author remembers most was how its eyes were so incredibly bright white, and it was a humanoid dog shape. With a human-like head, but on the body of a dog with human hands and feet. It was looking right at them, and paralyzed with fear, they dashed away, back towards the house, back towards the campfire. Screaming bloody murder, all the other cousins and the grandma ran over to them. And it turned out that the grandmother's two dogs had been killed and completely ripped to shreds outside. Later that night, the narrator woke up, what they assumed was around 2 a.m, and all of the cousins were sitting in this double bed opposite the narrator on the other side of the room. They were quiet and staring wide-eyed. The 13-year-old nodded his head towards the window. Slowly, the narrator turned their head and saw a terrifying-looking face pressed to the window with gaping eyes looking directly at them. They screamed, and their grandmother called the police, but nothing was found.
At the end?
That's the end. I don't think they ever saw anything again. It wasn't like in your face a callback, but the idea was that in the basement, because it wasn't all underground, you could see that window, and that was what the creature was looking in through. Not the best storytelling, but...
No, but so creepy. Really good imagery.
Good imagery, yeah. It's all you can ask for, really. The second story is a secondhand story, which makes it a third-hand story for y'all.
Very believable.
It's about Patrick.
Pat.
No. This is Patrick. So Patrick was leaving this campsite one morning. He'd been staying there for a couple days, and he said there was a coyote.
Did he stay under a rock?
No.
I'm sorry.
I got you. And he said there was this coyote that always seemed to be close by, like not in his field of vision, but in his peripheral. So he loaded his truck up, and he started to drive away. His camping was over. He had a great time. He's on his way out. But near the end of the road, he could see the coyote following him, and it was now running next to him. Naturally, he started freaking out, so he sped up to get the hell out of there. He said he was going up to 35 miles per hour, and it was still running alongside him. Patrick didn't think this was possible. When he looked back, the coyote was running on two legs and was wearing what Patrick said looked like buckskin pants. An instant later, it was a person wearing coyote fur keeping pace with the truck. And when he looked back again, it was just gone.
Is that the end of the story?
Yeah.
Oh, it was fast.
Yeah. Well, just like the skinwalker.
Like, oh, that's creepy. like the skinwalker like formed like an attachment to him.
Yeah. It's probably like, why are you in my neighborhood? Why are you killing all the things I'm trying to kill?
I guess. Ooh, that's creepy.
Skinwalker gotta eat.
All right. Short but creepy.
So here is where I go back into first person. Back in my groove, reenacting. Okay, encounter three. Let me get in the right state of mind. Quote, this happened when I was a kid. My uncle and I were finishing up chopping, gathering firewood for my grandmother because it was getting dark. Driving back on a dirt road at about 30 miles per hour, give or take, I had this awful sense of being watched. Before I could turn to look out my passenger window, my uncle quickly shouted, "Don't!" I completely froze. My heart felt like it was beating out of my chest, then completely stopped when I heard a tap-tap on my window. My uncle sped up and was loudly praying in my native language. I didn't know what was going on, and I thought it was over until our truck suddenly dipped from the bed. My uncle then started saying, "Look at me, and don't turn away," over and over. Then I heard it again, tap, tap, but from the window behind me. It was getting harder and harder for me to breathe, and I wanted to cry. A minute or two passed, and the truck dipped again. My uncle looked around and sighed. It was quiet, besides the truck and the road. He looked at me and said, "We'll ask your father to do a prayer in the morning, so the evil will forget our faces." I remember curling up on the seat and just staring at the radio, watching the whole time, listening to my uncle sing an old prayer until we got back to my grandmother's house. I called my uncle because I had a nightmare that night about what we witnessed. We talked about it for a little bit, and he said, "I didn't see faces, just eyes, like brake lights you see on the road. It watched you." Before hanging up, I tried joking with him about it. "Why didn't you just step on the brake when it was in the back?" He paused for a moment and said, "Because it wasn't alone." Quote. A lot of dry. Here's what you do when you're in the Southwest. I didn't mention that the Navajo legend, this whole cryptid creature, it takes place majorly in the southwestern part of the United States, like New Mexico, Arizona,
Utah,
other southwestern Utah. States. Is Utah southwestern?
It's enough.
It's over there somewhere. Great for skiing, I've heard. I don't ski, but good for them. All right. So my last encounter. And again, if you are enjoying these encounters, we'll probably do more. There'll probably be more episodes. It's literally my favorite thing to talk about, so I'm sure there'll be more. But if you're enjoying this, just search Skinwalker Encounters. There are many, many of them out there, and they're fun. So without further ado, let's do the fourth and final encounter. Quote, one night about 5 years ago, a few of my friends decided, after a night of just hanging out, that we'd go on an adventure at about 3 a.m., the witching hour. We took a ride about 20 miles to this old Spanish ruins in New Mexico. So we jumped the front gate to the place and started exploring. One of my friends brought a flute with him, and he started playing it, and about 30 seconds into his playing, something started screaming really, really loud on the top of the long-destroyed walls of the place. It was going from wall to wall really quick, screaming the most blood-curdling scream you've ever imagined. One of my friends was so freaked out that he literally wet his pants. We decided to get the hell out of there, and we drove a few hours to Bandelier National Monument, where we planned to camp for the rest of the weekend. We got to Bandelier at probably 6 or 7 a.m., and we set up our camp. After a few hours of just talking about what the hell happened back at the ruins, I went to go take a piss behind a tree, probably about 300 feet from our camp. This is where everything starts getting a little fuzzy for me. I remember seeing two dust devils coming my way, And when I turned around again, two of my friends were there, and they were motioning for me to follow them. I couldn't help but to follow them, like I was being pulled behind them in shackles. I followed them for what seemed like 10 or 15 minutes, and then out of nowhere, I snapped out of it. These weren't my friends. They had bright red hair with my friends' faces and cat eyes. I stopped walking, and they looked at me with probably the most terrifying gaze I've ever seen, more terrifying than any movie monster could ever be. I turned around and ran as fast as I could back the way I came. After 5 minutes of a full sprint, I finally got back to camp. Everyone was still there, sitting and talking and acting like they didn't even notice I was gone. I told them about what happened, and we packed everything up and left within 10 minutes. Quote.
I've heard that one before.
Yeah, me too. That's one of the more popular ones. So you have one.
It's a short one, really quick.
Yeah, let's hear it. The bonus number five encounter.
Okay. It's like, I don't have the details memorized, I just know like the broad strokes.
Was it a dark and stormy night?
It's not a dark and stormy night, it's a dark night. But the story goes, like, there's this family driving home after a family function. The kids are asleep in the back, the dad's driving, mom is, I don't know, talking to the dad to keep him awake. It's later, like maybe midnight, maybe almost one. And they see these two guys standing on the side of the road, and they pass them. And as they pass them, it's almost like time slows down. And they see these men with wolf heads. As well noted in these stories, they start to chase the car. And they're almost keeping pace with the car all the way to their home in the desert, in the middle of the desert. And they pull into the driveway, they get past the fence, and then all of a sudden, these creatures stop at their fence line. And the family gets into their house, and they turn on all the lights, and the dad grabs a gun, of course. And these creatures, which you can assume are skinwalkers at this point, are trying to get over the fence, but they can't. And the family heard drums for the rest of the night outside of the property line the whole night. And after that, they're never seen again.
The family was never seen again?
No. Okay. No, the creatures were never seen by the family again.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
There are some stories I saw that were like kind of almost like we talked about how there's a little bit of a tie into werewolf lore. Yeah, a little bit of vampire lore. Some people said you have to invite a skinwalker in.
Yeah, it goes along with that idea.
Yeah, where it's like they couldn't enter the property. That would be like a funny, like you see a family and they're driving and they got like these beasts following them and they're chasing them and they're right on their tail. And then they get in their home and they like hit the button to like lock their property and all these lights come on.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, Simply Safe. Keeps away skinwalkers.
That's our ad for Simply Safe.
Yeah. Use the code Believing the Bizarre
to get your skinwalker lockdown kit.
Yeah. It's just like a normal Simply Safe, but it is. Simply Safe. See, we should do ads for you guys. Would you like to discuss?
Absolutely.
So I feel like throughout the episode, I've made it pretty clear without giving a rating how I feel. So where do you land at with all of this? The lore, the stories, where are you at with skinwalkers?
Well, I know even what we touched on, I know there's like even deeper stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a taboo topic with the Navajo. And it's also very creepy. And for me, it's something that it's not like I don't like talking about it. I do like talking about it, but I recognize that it is
frowned upon.
Yeah.
It's funny because it's like we would never want to do something that would insult a culture. And it's like, you guys shouldn't be talking about this thing. But we're going to talk about this thing.
It's also something I really find it fascinating.
Oh, me too. This is easy, like the way you are with aliens. Like, yeah. This is the only issue I have is I acknowledge that we live in a world with a gray area. Like people want a world that's black and white, good and bad, yes and no, right and wrong. But it's like there's so much gray area, which is fine. But when you talk about something like skinwalkers, there is no clear cut. Like, did you see a werewolf if you believe that? Did you see a skinwalker, if you believe that? Did you see a Wendigo, if you believe that? And what I'm saying applies to many of the things we talk about. Because it's like, I mean, people have trouble identifying whether something is a demon or an alien. You know what I mean? Like, one of the tough things about this is that there's no defined line. Like, this is 100% what it is. And this is going beyond the episode. But me as a person, I have trouble with hard truths. Like, I have a hard time just saying 100%. Something is something. That's just how I am as a person. It's a flaw. I do think I had an experience with something like this. And
that's a great story.
When something happens to you, it's completely different. I was actually thinking about this today when I was thinking about the Kelpies episode. And I was like, I think I went into that in the frame of mind that it was silly. But what if I experienced something like that? And I kind of mentioned that I would think it was a mermaid. But what would I think about the lore of a skinwalker if I never had an experience? Like, would I find this believable? And I try to be objective about that. But I think I'm too biased. I feel like you were going down a certain path and I just completely.
No, it's okay. I can go ahead. Where I was. Yeah, go ahead. So like you said about your bias, I almost feel the same. I feel the same way, like, but I don't have that bias. I feel like I would want to see an alien. I would want to see a ghost. I don't think I'd want to see a skinwalker.
I mean, that's fair.
Aliens and ghosts are not inherently evil. I think a skinwalker is.
Oh, but yeah, especially if the lore is true, mm-hmm. and they did what we've discussed to become a skinwalker. I mean, there's no retribution for that type of a person.
Yeah, like, and they don't want it either.
No. It's greed, hate, evil. You know,
skinwalkers are terrifying, and I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want to see that. I'd be as changed as I would be to see an alien or a ghost. I would be inherently more changed seeing a skinwalker.
Yeah, it's because I feel like seeing an alien or a ghost is a little bit like seeing a tornado from a distance, where it's like really cool. There's danger applied to it, but it's like, you know, it's from a distance. You know, it's something you can talk about later, where it's like, oh, that was really cool. I saw this. Where like skinwalkers, it's like there's no real good outcome. Like either they're right. You just happen to be there when they pass by and you're going to feel like shit, or they're targeting you and you might not come out of it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But overall, I find the concept of skinwalker believable.
I think the idea of a human transforming into an animal throws up so many red flags, and like, cause like, okay, well, I'll just go based off aliens and ghosts. Ghosts, I find easier to believe because I think energy, something happens with energy when we die. I don't think it's just donezo. I'm not like not getting into spiritually, but energy wise and lasting impressions, I can understand the idea of a ghost. Aliens, it's like, okay, I believe in space and the universe and galaxies. It's really hard to imagine that we're the only things here just based on numbers. So those two are kind of like, I can wrap my mind around it. Somebody, a human being and their bones and their skin and their body morphing into an animal on its own is kind of unbelievable. Like if somebody came up to you and was like, I can turn into a cat, would you believe them?
I'd say, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. It's just kind of like, this is kind of like the difficult thing for me. It's because when we hit record and we're in Believing the Bizarre mode, it's like my mind travels to another place where like I'm willing to suspend disbelief until the discussion when I try and reel it back in. And putting a gun to my head, imagining a human being able to turn into an animal feels incredibly unbelievable. Just mass. Like, imagine your body physically shifting into another animal, and then poof, you're back to human form. It feels ridiculously unbelievable. But because of my bias and because of my personal experiences and what I've seen and what I felt, I have to go believable on this, which is crazy to me. Like, I understand. I try to be very realist. I feel like I'm having like a psychology like moment right now.
Yeah.
It's because I try to keep it real. I don't ever want people to think we're pandering. I don't ever want people to think that we are being fake just for the sake of entertainment. Like like I kind of almost feel like the discussion is a little bit separate from the episode, where it's like during the episode, it's funny. It's, you know, we try to tell the stories like they're believable and then we reel back in the discussion. And I feel like it's our job to keep it real and not push something as believable because people like it, or push something as unbelievable because people don't like it. You know what I mean? It just like, okay, let me throw it back on you. How do you like, okay, if your friend or somebody, a stranger said, I can turn into a cat, unbelievable. What makes you think that this is believable? And I think I already said, I find this believable. I do. But it's almost like, how do you cope with that?
Well, for me, it's one, I have your bias by proxy.
Yeah, you're close enough.
Yeah. Two, like you said, energy, I think, has a lot to do with it. Also, I think there might be some kind of interdimensional thing at play. If they're convinced, I probably would want to see some kind of proof, but I don't think that would happen. But if it did, I think there would be some kind of energy slash interdimensional kind of thing, maybe some kind of riff. I don't know. I don't know the science of it.
I don't think it's really science. I think it's, if you don't think too hard about it, you can say believable. But I'm trying to force myself and us, and I guess the listener, to think hard about it and be like, it's fun to say you believe in skinwalkers. But if somebody told you randomly that they can turn into a fox, would you believe them or would you say, no way?
I don't think it's fun for me to believe that they're real. I would like to believe that they're not real. I think what you do to become that, I think it almost is in the same realm as ghosts. It's an energy through meditation and negative, it's negative energy through meditation manifesting in some way. That's how I feel to me.
Do you think it's painful for them to turn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it'd have to be. Okay, so, okay, let's, even putting this, I know this is going long discussion, I apologize. But even putting that aside, if you're questioning the lore of a skinwalker, what did these people see? What are these people seeing chase their cars, running on 2 feet? Like, and there's so many stories of that. So if it's not a skinwalker, what is it? You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of those stories, a lot.
Yeah.
And, I think we'll definitely do an episode that touches on skinwalkers again. I love it too much. But for now, I'm going to say believable. So that is our story, our intro 101 on skinwalkers. I hope you liked it. I hope you enjoyed it. It's easily one of my favorite topics. I was joking. It's not going downhill. We're only getting better. I actually listened to an old episode and I messaged you about it. I'm like, we've gotten better.
Yeah.
Which we should.
I do want to tell you, though, this is not worth a college credit.
Half a credit.
Yeah.
You can either take this or pool for your athletic. I took pool and I took bowling at Akron.
I took the most boring class. It was like the science of physical activity. It was like,
Sounds disgusting. So I just want to say this really quick. I feel like I'm going over the top about everything, but I thought about this and I want to say it because normally we're like, please leave us a review. Check out our shirt. And we still highly recommend that you do that. If you're enjoying the podcast,
yes, please.
Please, you know, reviews really do go a long way if you listen to Apple. But I just think about this. Time is very valuable. You know what I mean? Like, if you consider sleep and you consider things like showering and cooking, like, you really only have so much free time in your day. And the fact that there are so many different things you can do, so many different podcasts you can listen to, so many different songs you can listen to. Like, there's really a million things you guys could be doing, but you're taking the time and you're choosing to spend your time listening to us. And I just want to say that it's humbling. And I don't want to speak for Charlie. He could, you know, he could take this for granted, but I don't. No, I'm just kidding. He's just as humble as I am. Yeah. Maybe more humble. Probably not. but really though, I don't take for granted. I know Charlie doesn't take for granted that you guys choose to listen to us when there's literally so many other things you could be doing. We appreciate it. And it really, it puts us in the mind to make the best product, the best podcast, the most entertaining show that we can do, because time is valuable. Your free time is especially valuable. We're in a very work-centric culture. So to use your free time, assuming that's when you do it, maybe you listen during work, which you should. Podcasts make work better. But to assume that you're using free time listening to us, we don't ever want to take that for granted. We want to, you know, we want to prove that we value your time. So we really do put the most effort we can into providing the best show, best entertainment possible. So that's a long-winded way of saying we really do appreciate you guys listening and giving us a shot.
I do appreciate that as well. So we all know. I don't know what to say. Yeah, it's true.
So thank you so much for listening. And as always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
Podcast, as bizarre as you are.